Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take bombs, underappreciated classics, and all that fucking other stuff. We pit them together for the right to be on Mount Valhalla or be forgotten to time. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zach.
And I'm the beer.
I like that you cut out at the same time that I cut out.
That was nice. That was magical.
That was nice. Or at least in post it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys will never know.
By the time the people hear this.
In my corner, I've got the 1978 classic movie made for TV, Doctor Strange.
And in my corner, we have a heavyweight champ, the mashup of masterpieces, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
So this is the thing. When I started to watch this, this was based off of a thread for an article that I wrote, which I wrote the four worst superhero movies ever. I'm not going to stand by that they're the worst four horror or superhero movies ever. In fact, I've now seen worse ones. It's just that they were four entertaining ones to rip apart at the time.
They were the four most fun for you to write about when you wrote it, right?
But I had a guy who challenged me and wrote like 10 things. And I told him, like, some of them I agreed with him that they're pretty bad. They deserve to be on the list. Like, he was right. There was a couple of them he was absolutely right, deserve to be on the list. There's a couple I felt he was wrong. And then there was Doctor Strange, which I'd never seen. Never even heard that they made a Doctor Strange movie. So I decided right then that I was going to respond to the thread and tell him what I thought of each individual one, and then said, don't worry, I will review Doctor Strange.
And today that day has come.
That's right. Today that day has come.
And Judgment time.
What I found out, much like Captain America, this is a great movie. This is a fantastic movie. The fact that it's made for TV, I mean, other than not being widescreen, you would never know. It's got the highest production value you could possibly expect from a TV show in 1978. And that's saying a lot. We have Jessica Walters in the cast, who plays Morgan Le Fay, the main villain. And if you guys aren't quite sure who I'm talking about, I'm talking about the mother in Arrested Development. I'm talking about the mother in Archer. But in this one, she's a hot mama, dude.
Would you say she's the mother of evil?
Yeah, I guess, sure. Okay. But she shows her cleavage a lot. She shows her thighs a lot. And let me tell you something. She didn't make my penis soft. She didn't make my penis soft. I'll say that much, dude. Kind of a looker back in the day. There's another looker, too, which is this girl that Morgan Le Fay forces to push a mysterious magician off of a bridge, and we think he's dead, but guess what? He's not dead, guys. He's okay. He used a spell to be able to, I guess, levitate. They don't really explain it, but he doesn't die. So we cut back, and we see Dr. Stephen Strange, and now he sees this girl after having this nightmare of a man being pushed off a bridge by this girl. And he sees this girl in the psych ward, and she is all torn up by the fact that she had to push somebody off bridge. She had nightmares about it, which, guess what? Dr. Strange also had those nightmares.
So wait, is Dr. Strange not a surgeon?
Oh, he's second in charge in a psychiatric wing.
Okay, so no then.
Oh, this movie's so good, it transcends the comic book.
No, Zach. I'm not saying that needs to be. That's more a point of curiosity than anything.
Okay, let me just lay it out for the fans. He does not hurt his hands. He does not seek out a cure for it. He does not become the Sorcerer Supreme in the process. In fact, he's under training very much in this movie.
Okay, so we got a Mr. Miyagi thing.
Kinda. We'll get into that.
Hmm.
Anyway, so then the magician comes to see Dr. Strange and basically like kind of looks at him what he's doing, and he says, do I look familiar? And he says, he kind of looks at him funny and he says, there are no secrets here, Stephen, tell me. Okay. Now he waves his hand in this gesture. He also uses gesture to get in to talk to Mr. Strange. He totally can use the force.
I was going
to
say, can he? Wow. This is.
There's a guy who walks into the room who's Dr. Stephen Strange's boss, and he's ready to just chew out Dr. Strange over something. And he waves his hand and he says, "You do not want to chew him out. You want to wait until we're done with the meeting." And he says, "I will wait until you're done," and walks out. These aren't the droids we're looking for, motherfucker. He's got the Force. Fucking Obi.
I gotta admit, Kenobi, that is pretty exciting. So wait, is this a movie about Dr. Stephen Strange learning the Force?
You could say that.
Fuck yeah.
But if he's learning the Force, he learns a lot of Sith shit because there's a lot of lightning bolts out of the fingertips. So, you know, Dr. Stephen Strange was prophesized to bring balance to the Force.
So you could say Star Wars had some influence on this film.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty clear. 1 year after Star Wars came out, it had some influence. Anyway, so he's talking with him. He says, "Do I look familiar?" He says, "Well, yes, I saw it in a dream." He goes, "But that was not your dream. That was her dream. You have a psychic bond to her, Steven." Now, he thinks this is strange, but he kind of takes it in passing. And he starts talking with the girl. And you can tell he's kind of got to thank this girl, who, by the way, is fucking hot. Don't know the name of the actress, but I know she was a writer and often guest star on the show Sledgehammer.
Anybody? Oh, the classic Sledgehammer.
The classic
Sledgehammer
from 1986. It was like a parody of a cop show.
Okay,
it's good.
Just I believe that existed.
It's even on Netflix, I think. Right?
Oh,
now.
I look forward to not watching it.
Yeah, why haven't I watched this? No, it's fucking good. It's good. Okay, it was so good that it got canceled after like two seasons.
Okay,
because the network didn't know what they had.
Well, that's a familiar refrain.
Yeah, it was just like Arrested Development, right?
Okay.
All right. Anyway, why am I sucking up to you?
It's a great question. I'm not judging shit.
Because you keep talking, I guess.
I'm distracting you.
Anyway, so Dr. Strange realizes there's something weird going on. So he starts talking to the girl, and he realizes there's something weird going on down below because he kind of likes her. So he sets up a date because now that she's not his patient anymore, it's okay. You can fuck somebody as long as you're not in the process of treating somebody.
Honest to God. When you said there was something weird going on down below, I thought you were going to tell me she had like Cthulhu down there or something. Like there was something he had to cure magically from her.
Right. Well, Dormammu is in this, which...
Oh, fuck. Yeah, really?
So Dormammu is... And I got to say, I've seen a couple of incantations of Dormammu in the, you know, in the comics and stuff. Never have they even touched... The amazing job they did. It was like they got seals and crop... Or no.
I'm sorry, what?
No. That's the wrong thing. It was like they went and got Sid and Marty Krofft to make a 20-foot-tall puppet.
Okay.
With kind of a Monty Python talking mouth.
Okay.
Who barks demands.
Okay.
At Morgan Le Fay.
So what you're telling me is Dormammu is basically an angry Sleestak.
Yes.
Okay.
That's essentially what that, but it's red.
Oh, good. Because it's evil.
Right. And it's continuity from the comics. Yes. Anyway. So it wants her to kill Doctor Strange and kill the magician. Okay. Now, he's ready to get down with the girl. They're at his house. Stuff's going kind of good. They have a few glasses of wine, couple joints. Not really the joints. I just added that in. You know, if that was filmed today, they totally would have smoked it up. I'm just saying. It's practically legal. It is legal in like one or two states, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Two states.
Not this one. Anyway, so Dr. Strange suddenly sees out of nowhere, motherfucking Jessica Walters comes out to seduce him.
While the other girl's still there?
While the other girl's still there.
Wow.
She can't move. She can't do anything. She says, "I will not harm her. Don't worry." And she comes out and just starts seducing the living shit out of him, dude. And he wants it, but then he suddenly realizes that she has pulled in, which I neglected to mention, the other wizard into the astral plane.
Uh-oh.
And she's got him captured, and she's torturing him, and she wants him to help torture her. And he says no with his bountiful, majestic mustache.
Oh, is he a mustachioed in this?
And she oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, it's a great mustache. Way better than any animated mustache, dude. It's one to rival Burt Reynolds.
That's an epic mustache.
That's pretty great.
Sam Elliott's mustache would go running away.
What about Tom Selleck?
Wilford Brimley's mustache was so scared that it couldn't even make an appearance for the 1983 classic The Thing. Anyway, so Morgan Le Fay tells him, I'm going to get my pleasure from you one way or the other. She actually tells him this.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
That is forward.
And then starts torturing him.
Yeah, that's about right.
Nipple clamps.
Damn women.
Yeah.
Is there a safe word?
He winds up escaping because he knows. Wait, he knows a spell that the magician, like, is there a safe word? No, there is no safe word.
Okay.
But Dr. Strange uses a spell that the magician taught him. And she laughs because he's like a child with his magic. However, he's so fucking good that he manages to throw lightning bolts and get away.
Interesting.
So they've now set up what the TV series will be if they ever pick up the pilot. I mean, I know it's been a long time, but they can still do it. Dude, it's only been 36 years. I'm just saying. You know,
35. Well,
if it they're remaking Manimal.
If it hasn't hit the 40-year mark, then it's still okay.
That's right. And they're making a movie soon. It could happen. Mm-hmm. Totally happen. Anyway, so we basically close on the scene. Dr. Stephen Strange has accepted that he is going to be a great magician. He is learning from this other guy and an Asian guy named Wang Fei, something like that. I don't know. He's hooking up with the girl. He's got the boss pissed off at him, but you know what? Dr. Stephen Strange don't give a fuck. Because Dr. Strange is going to be the Sorcerer Supreme. And Jessica Walters, Morgan Le Fay, she's now doing, I guess, self-help stuff for a TV show, which you see.
That's absurd.
Right. So they totally set it up for the next episode. Or a future episode, anyway. It's fucking brilliant, dude. It blew my mind.
Wait, is that the end?
Yeah, pretty much. I just summarized it.
Okay. Oh, wow. No, it's not the summarized. I just shocked that that's how we're ending.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a pilot for a TV show.
Sure, but still.
So it is 90 minutes long. And this is the thing, dude. Like, it doesn't sound like a lot when I say it, but you got to remember the era. This was the 70s when they took their time. Dr. Stephen Strange walks to the magician's house in one part. Now, I know what you're thinking. Like, oh, a walk. You could do that in a couple of seconds. No, dude. It's like 10 blocks. You see him walk the whole 10 blocks because every journey has a step, many steps. And you see him take every excruciating step in this show. It's great.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, let's talk about my movie, which is like a real movie that they showed in theaters and people bought tickets for.
That hurts, Zach.
Actually, before we begin,
you can't see this, but I'm doing Doctor Strange signs to throw a lightning curse bolt at Zach for this.
There will be no sorcery here.
I need to ask a favor of my opponent. Every now and then, I'm going to need you to say a name for me in a Sean Connery voice.
Okay.
I need you to say Alan Quatermain.
Alan Quatermain.
Perfect. So every
That's
now
not
and
a good one because it needs an S. Can I say Invisible Man?
You could, but Sean Connery's character's name is?
Alan Quatermain.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Got it.
So our cast is a mix of the best from some of the great literature of all time. We start with M, an employee of the British Empire whose job is to bring together the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He first recruits a man named
Alan Quatermain,
as portrayed by Sean Connery.
Sorry, I was drinking a wine spritzer when you pointed at me.
And our friend, never mind.
Alan Quatermain.
Is a famed and respected and almost beloved cultural figure in England. He's a famous adventurer and warrior. He's an Indiana Jones type to the young boys. We have our lead villain, the Phantom, a masked menace who's poised to tear down Europe as we know it.
Ben Affleck's in this?
Actually, anybody want
to... He was the bomb in Phantoms, that's for sure.
Phantoms like a motherfucker.
Anybody want to take a guess at what Phantom's mask looks like?
I'm going to say Venom's.
Phantom of the Opera.
Nailed it. Brandon nailed it. He's joined in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I just figured since they went so far off the source material. But if you haven't figured it out, that is the theme of this podcast. It's just comic book movies that threw out
the source. That straight up ignored
material.
The source material. So he's joined by Nemo from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the captain of the Nautilus. His first mate, Ishmael, from Moby Dick. Wilhelmina Harker, who once fought Dracula. Rodney Skinner, who was not the original Invisible Man because of licensing issues. He's a thief who stole the original Invisible Man's formula. And Dr. Jekyll / Mr. Hyde, the immortal Dorian Gray, and best of all, United States Secret Service Agent Tom Sawyer.
What?
Fuck. Yeah.
That was not in the source material.
No. But it's awesome. He's like a cowboy, but like a frittata cowboy. So the story begins with some British guy with a super pretentious British name like Sanderson or some bullshit. And he goes
Sanderson.
To he goes to Kenya to retrieve
Alan Quatermain
to join the
better at this.
See, he just needed to get a few reps in
and not be drinking a wine spritzer. Yes, <exactly. laughs> So what you didn't hear was I was doing the pressure of Sean Connery drinking from a fucking glass as he was talking.
So,
Alan Quatermain
is retrieved in Kenya, where he's staying, to go stop essentially a world war. To combat the phantom, the British Empire has put together a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and they explain that throughout history, there have been times where they need to pull together unique individuals to stop. I mean, they're basically the Avengers. They're the steampunk Avengers. And so,
I thought that was Guardians of the Galaxy.
They're the Space Avengers.
Oh, okay. I got mixed up. By Avengers, we're talking the old British show with Emma Peel.
Yep, right? That's right. Steven Peel.
Everything Brandon knows about the British show, The Avengers, was from an episode of Married with Children.
Pretty much.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't sit through the Ralph Fiennes movie. It was fucking boring.
I see it every time I walk into the library going through the DVD section. Like, they have the whole series of the Avengers, and I'm like, no.
Can I talk about where I'm an idiot? I constantly watch TV and see the Avengers on the guide and get excited and watch it, or go to watch it, and mm-hmm. I'm like, as soon as I see Uma Thurman. But this is the thing. I was doing that shit long before there was an Avengers movie, so some dumb part of me was like, oh, they made an Avengers movie.
Back in 1978 as a TV pilot.
I'm such an idiot.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, we first set off to Paris, where they go to capture Mr. Hyde, and he is just fucking shit up. Oh, and by the way, you should know that every European city in this movie is just Prague with like little bit. So it's like Prague plus the Eiffel Tower or Prague plus Big Ben. It's every city is just Prague.
So it's basically they filmed on location in parts of Prague with a blue screen. Like they just
pretty much
blue screen over, like drop that over that building. It's going to be the Eiffel Tower in this movie.
But they successfully get him, and they have a battle while trying to recruit Dorian Gray, who does not want to join him at first. But eventually he's convinced after they tear the shit out of his house in a fight with the Phantom. And Dorian joins on. And that's also where they meet United States Secret Service Agent Tom Sawyer. He's a sharpshooter. And he develops a very touching father and son relationship with
Alan Quatermain.
That's right. He's very much a mentor to young Tom Sawyer. They successfully...
You must smack the woman this way. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Sean Connery.
That's right. That was just
more Sean Connery than Alan Quatermain.
So basically all you need to know is the Phantom wants to blow up the city and there's a traitor in the group and they got to stop it. It's revealed the traitor. Can I just spoil the shit out of this?
Do we ever not?
How do you not spoil?
Well, listen.
Just a reminder in case there's a new listener. We spoil the shit out of every movie.
The only reason I ask is a movie this great, Brandon may want to revisit after hearing my arguments. And I don't want to spoil anything if he ends up wanting to see it.
I've seen it many times.
Okay, good. Wonderful. So Dorian Gray is the traitor, and it turns out that the Phantom was M all along. And M isn't just anybody. You want to take a guess at who M is?
James Bond.
James Moriarty. That's right. Moriarty is the villain of this movie.
This is the first name as a James, is it?
In this movie, it is.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I was so close.
So anyway, all you need to know is he doesn't successfully blow up most of the city, although he does bring down a fuck ton of buildings with a domino effect. And in one of the...
So like every superhero movie.
Yeah. But there's this great... He's got bombs ringing off, and as one falls, it knocks down another building. And their solution to this problem is to blow up one of the buildings out of sequence. And then it works.
So you got a hole.
Yeah. So there's a hole so the domino can't knock it in the next one down.
Why didn't they just take him to the moon and fight him? Oh, wait, that was there's, Man yeah, of Steel. Sorry, yeah,
there, sorry
I got
buddy.
My building blowing up movies mixed up.
So basically, all you need to know is Happily Ever After, but now they might need to go on other missions in case there's sequels. Oh, you should know that our friend...
Alan Quatermain
sadly dies at the end of the film, and he passes the torch on to Tom Sawyer, and he says, "Tom, my century is ending. It's time for your generation to take over." That's surprisingly closer to the dialogue than you'd expect.
Okay, let me try it. My time is over. No, wait. My time is over. It's passing to your century. You are the last. Why are there holes in the sky? Are they pinholes in the curtain of night? I'm fucking this up.
So anyway, they take Quatermain to bury him in Kenya where he loved. And they recall his old story about how he was blessed by a witch doctor for saving his village. And that the witch doctor had said, he had blessed him and said, as long as he never leaves Africa, Africa would never allow him to die. So as the team departs, the witch doctor appears and does a little ritual, and boom, a bolt of lightning strikes his grave. Credits. Super exciting. Sequel power.
So he gets the quickening.
Only in Africa.
He gets the quickening at the end of this?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. He's got a little high... He is Scottish. He also has a little Highlander in him.
Master of your destiny. I was trying to sing in the background. That's why I backed up. Go ahead.
Oh,
I am the one, the only one.
All you need to know is that our friend Alan Quatermain is African Highlander.
Just give me the prize.
The end.
Okay. So here's the thing. Like, your movie sounded fun and all, but... You know, there's nothing that can beat when you're watching a 70s movie and somebody sticks on a superhero suit that's purple and yellow to be a magician. Fucking badass!
You know, the main argument I want to make for this movie is the importance of its legacy. This may not be widely regarded as the best film of all time. It may not even be widely regarded as a great film, but it is a film that is important to our society. Because films like this that have wide access and that a lot of people went to see, and I don't know if you guys know this, but a lot of people in the world are stupid and uneducated, and sometimes both. This gives people who may not ever read literature a chance to start to dip their toe into the classics and understand stories that have been around for centuries and that have inspired much of the storytelling they love today. It's a chance for kids to discover Alan Quatermain and Mina Harker and the Invisible Man and Jekyll and Hyde and Dorian Gray and Sherlock Holmes and, of course, United States Secret Service Agent Tom Sawyer.
I mean, I hear you, but my film is an opportunity to learn and discover Lefty and Righty. Those are what I named Jessica Walter's boobs!
Speaking of Jessica Walter, there are a lot of things I really like about Jessica Walter as a performer. She's witty, she's sharp, she's got this great acerbic delivery. I don't like sexy Jessica Walter. I like fun, entertaining, mean Jessica Walter. And I don't like it when she's I don't want to be attracted to Jessica Walters. I want to enjoy watching her tear down people I'm supposed to be rooting for. Now, in my cast, you have Matthew Vaughn's Lucky Charm Jason Fleming finally getting to sink his teeth into a meaty role, and also other actors who are indeed reading their lines.
Okay, I got a twofer on this one. I'm actually going to respond, and then I'm going to throw one out. Here we go. I might take that out in editing. Fucking wine spritzers, dude. They're so delicious going down. Jessica Walters is not only sexy, and not only did I kind of want a titty fucker, but, okay, she's totally tearing down Doctor Strange. She's torturing Doctor Strange. And I fucking dig it. On top of it, your movie, which, I mean, your movie... What can I say about it except for Sean Connery pass up this movie? He didn't play Gandalf. He robbed us of that. And I like Ian McKellen, don't get me wrong. But I think Ian McKellen's legacy would have been better as Magneto if we had Sean Connery as Gandalf. You know?
Well, here's the only response I have. First, if you want to talk about pretty actors, this is a movie with pretty actors. We've got Peta Wilson as Wilhelmina Harker, and she has breasts, which I know appeals to you. And she shows them often in the film, not all the way.
I don't think they can appeal to me like Jessica Walters did.
Only one way to find out.
I mean, not like 60-year-old Jessica Walters.
Who has the floor? I have the floor.
I had to look at the judge.
Sustain.
Now, we also have Stuart Townsend as the inordinately attractive Dorian Gray, which is as you'd expect Dorian Gray to be. Most of all, we've got Sean Connery in his beautiful beard. And of course, we have Shane West, the dreamy, fresh off Walk to Remember Shane West, I might add, as United States Secret Service agent Tom Sawyer. Now, regarding your other point, you say it's a shame that he turned down Gandalf to play this role. You don't have the right perspective. He found a role so intense, so iconic, so damn right legendary, that not only did he turn down a great character, admittedly great character like Gandalf for this movie, he didn't want to do another movie after because this is how he wanted to be remembered by the public. This is his defining role.
By the way, that iconic role was James Bond. I'm out.
Second most iconic.
That was Outland. I'm out.
That is not true. That is just...
The Rock.
That is demonstrably false.
The Rock.
I do love The Rock. But that's his third greatest
role. Highlander?
No, fuck Highlander.
What?
No. I'm kidding. I need to make a point, which is you can say...
Far. I think we just found out what Biggs is going to review in 2 weeks.
All you need to understand from this is that, yes, he has played a lot of great roles, and he's a legendary actor. That's how good this role is, that it can be second only to James Bond.
All right. So I've listened to both your statements. Truth be told, I have not seen the made-for-TV movie Doctor Strange. Although I have been slightly intrigued by this, I have seen League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and I'm going to have to give this one to League. I have actually seen this on more than one occasion, so I have to give it on this one.
You have to give it because that's the right decision for the world.
Besides, I can't take an actual movie and put it underneath a made-for-TV
that's right.
pilot.
Okay, so I kind of agree with your decision, although they're both wretched movies.
Neither's great.
Yeah, let's just get out of the open.
Mine is less bad.
We're on the final grades here, all. We could be honest. I'm not sure yours is less bad.
It's less bad.
I'm not saying that to cover up because I'm arguing it. I'm not sure yours is less bad because when you're grading 1 to 10, you don't have fractions that you grade. They're both a 1. They're both kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, they have a lot of entertaining drinking, aspects.
But they're both bad movies.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I enjoy them both. I would give Doctor Strange, just for the fun factor of some of the stupid stuff, it's basically a needs improvement, but I'm going to give it the plus because there are things that really make me laugh, like the superhero suit they put him in at the end. It's so fucking ridiculous. Like, this is the thing. It's Captain America was, like, actually good. Mm-hmm. Like, the 1991 that I reviewed, that was actually, like, a good movie. I'll stand by it. Like, it's corny, but it's fun. The Fantastic Four is not. The Roger Corman one is terrible. This one is way closer to Captain America, and but still, I mean, if I was to rate Captain America, the 1991, I'd probably rate, like, from a 1 to 10, I'd give it an 8. Mm-hmm. This one's probably like a 5. I'd probably give League of Extraordinary Gentlemen the same grade because I don't know, because it has entertaining parts. I'd give them both needs improvement plus.
Okay. I have not seen the Doctor Strange TV movie. But
it should be watched once for sure. I would say if you have 90 minutes to kill and nothing better to do, it's a fun 90 minutes.
The way I would grade League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is like that. Okay. There's no denying this movie is a dumpster fire, but it's an entertaining to watch dumpster fire. There's a lot of silly things that happen and things that make me laugh. There's some performances that, while not good, they're entertaining because they're so out there, and there's just the coolness of seeing the these characters who shouldn't be together together, even if it's not the best versions of these characters. So I'd probably give it a needs improvement, with the caveat that it also depends on how able you are to separate it from the comic. Because unlike a comic, a superhero thing...
Oh, don't... If you're expecting the comic in either of these,
You will not.
Yeah.
But the difference between something like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the comic, and a superhero comic is that superhero comics go through so many writers over their lifetimes. Like, these characters are written by so many people that it's almost impossible to get a definitive version in an hour and a half movie. Like, you kind of have to borrow from everything or just do your own thing. With League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, there's such a clear, well-done roadmap, and it's a great comic series. I'm a big, big fan of the comic series.
And it's all Alan Moore, right?
Yeah, it's Alan Moore and Kevin O'Neill. There are some things I don't... It's not his best work, but it's a very good work. But if you cannot differentiate and just accept that this movie is its own thing with similar characters and the same name, I couldn't... It's got to be an unsatisfactory at best. But for my purposes, it's a needs improvement.
Okay. I'm going to have to give Doctor Strange an incomplete. I just know nothing about it other than what has been presented here tonight. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I'd have to get a satisfactory minus.
Nice.
It's something I could actually, like, you know, if I had an hour and a half to kill, would actually watch it and saw it on Netflix.
If you can, like, take your brain out of your head for an hour and a half, it's a great movie.
Or if you just want to...
thinking about it at all.
Or if you just want to throw it on and do something else and check in on it, like, every 5 minutes.
I gotta be honest, the Tom Sawyer as a secret agent, like, knocked it down a grade.
No, to me, that bumps it up.
Clearly should have been Huck Finn.
I love saying the phrase United States Secret Service Agent Tom Sawyer. It makes me laugh every single time. I just want to say that it's going to be really funny to look at the picture of Mount Valhalla on the Facebook page and see the cover for League of Extraordinary Gentlemen up there.
What does the poster look like?
It's just like this, all their heads sort of like in shadow in like a V form on the cover. It's really goofy.
It's going to be pretty tiny, really.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not so much the image itself. It's just the fact that that movie is in Mount Valhalla now.
By the way, it should be mentioned that... if you haven't liked Box Office Battle on Facebook, it's too late, because we're going to do this thing for Not Safe for Network, and we're going to incorporate it all. So like the Not Safe for Network page, and we'll have the Valhalla thing as the setting.
It will be there.
Yeah, it'll still be there, but... And I'll even update the one, because I fell a couple weeks behind. So it'll be updated. Updated Valhalla. You can't miss
this. Yeah, there you go. Come like us.
Yeah. Anyway, Brandon?
Fill those seats so we don't have to.